Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels. Another race hour comes to an end. That is 16 hours now in the book for the 2022 Rolex 24 at Daytona, round one of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, once again on the RSL network throughout the year. Every twist and turn of the championship in five different classes will be covered live here on the station. And the next round, of course, is a small matter of the Sebring 12 hours in March, which will be a super weekend with the FIA World Endurance Championship as part of that that entry as well. Friday night WEC season opener, followed by the Sebring 12 hours on the Saturday. The number 70 Inception Racing Lamborghini squirming its way out of turns one and two, cars rejoining from green flag pit stops as well. Ollie Milroy having to deal with that and does so very neatly. I can't remember well on the stats whether Milroy's ever raced here before, but it will have been quite a learning process for him. We can very easily look that up. But we've had so many drivers in the last few years because of the influx of GT drivers. Bruce, you were mentioning this earlier, how young they're getting into it now. Yes, they want the single-seater career, but they realise the value for the long-term picture to get into sports car racing as early as possible. So you get these guys and girls late in their teens, early 20s, experiencing sports cars for the first time and these world-class venues.
Absolutely so, and for Ollie, it's definitely his first visit. He's posted lots of stuff about, I'm on the track, I'm walking around the track, I'm looking at the track. But, you know, such a good pairing with Brendan Reed. They've had real success in Europe in the last year or so, and certainly last year was a good year for them. They won the International GT Open Pro-Am class. They got a lot of racing time and did the Asian Le Mans series as well. But right now, he's doing what he's here to do, and he's leading the class. Car number 70, that McLaren from Inception Racing, leading by a minute and a little bit from Zach Robichon. But of course, Zach has only just left the pits in that Wright Motorsport Porsche that had been leading the way. Lucas Auer has also just had a pit stop, and he's in the Winward Racing Mercedes at car number 57. So he's still battle joined with the 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche. They're nip and tuck. They're a quarter of a second apart. But for now, until he comes into the pits, Ollie Milroy leading the way in GTD. As I say that, the Inception Racing red and black McLaren into the pit lane, flashing its lights.
And the Wright Motorsports Porsche is being lapped by Tristan Nunez, who is low down through Speedway Turn 2. So rather than having to go to the high side, the GT cars were in such a position where they could be overtaken to their left-hand side. Normally, the protocol is, if you're in the quicker car within class, you go to the high side. That's the reason why we've seen so many times DPIs getting so close to the safer barrier, sometimes three abreast, with an NMP3 car sitting in the middle and a GT car way down low. And in the driver's briefing, that is emphasised. If you are the faster car wanting to get by, high line is where we want you. But there are some rarer occasions where the inside line will do just as well. And Nunez lost less time than normally. We're only two laps away from the 500-lap marker, which again is a milestone to reach probably before, well, certainly before 6 a.m. And that suggests if we keep going at this sort of pace, we could crack 750 as a total. Last year, I should have looked this up really, but I can probably find the answer to that very swiftly indeed. Last year we got to 807 laps, so it's by no means a record distance because of all the cautions that we've had to this point. Some of that has been to do with this year's conditions. Some of it's to do with the fact that we had 61 cars enter this year's race. The record-breaking year, 2020, with 833 laps completed. I don't think 2019 was more than that. No, it wasn't. 833 was the year I remember in 2020.
2019, we had quite a lot of time when the cars were off the track, sitting in the pit lane waiting for the track to dry out.
Of course.
Sufficiently. I never did dry out, actually, but I enjoyed every second of it. I just want to point that out. But yes, a fantastic battle. Really enjoying the battle in GTD between Zach Robichon and Lucas Auer. But there are a few laps into their stints, but their tyres will still be cold. But it's that moment where you can't race in a regular way, much as there's just a small fraction of a second between you. You've just got to be waiting a few more laps before you start to attack if you're Lucas Auer. He's behind that 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche in the Wynnewood Racing Mercedes, but a little bit of caution is just required, frustrating as it must be for all parties out there.
Do ran through the gears for the FAF Porsche number 9 and allows the G Drive, well, one of the two G Drive LMP2 cars to get by as well. That was either the 69 or the 68, but it did so quickly I was unable to tell the difference. They are very similarly liveried, those cars, as well, from Stuart Cox's APR crew that run G-Drive Racing these days. 7 seconds, the advantage for Tristan Nunez over Tristan Vautier. So that's come down for the last few laps, I notice. The average lap time for the chaser is better in the lion's share. Now, Tristan Vautier's done fewer laps at 14. Nunez running at 15 laps so far on the stint. But there's about 7 tenths of a second favouring Vautier on the average. So that 5 car just starting to chip away a little bit on the race leader. We're going to go caution, though, for yet another time. And that will surely mean that the pit lane will be flooded with cars in a moment or two. The exact reason why we're heading into caution number 14 is not immediately obvious. But again, well, under green, not quite managed the hour. Remember, the previous green flag was the best we've had so far, i.e. the longest, an hour and 47, nearly 48 minutes. But this hasn't quite made 50 minutes under green before we go caution again. And quite how many laps this is going to be remains to be seen. Oh, it is a big crash for an LMP3 car. It's the Andretti car at turn. Now, one voice in my head said turn 3. The other voice in my head said turn 6. It's the International Horseshoe. Ah, 36 was what Shea was saying. Beg your pardon. So 36 is the Andretti car. And it is the International Horseshoe. So turn 3, the right-hand horseshoe, which is where this car has gone off and in quite a big way, Bruce Jones.
Yeah, it's Rasmus Lind at the wheel, but again, just seeing where the cars ended up and then trying to gauge from where the bodywork is was the contact. Rasmus is out of the car, that's good news, but it's going to take a little while to clear this one up. So that was running fourth in class, maybe actually third at the time, but still leading that P3 class, Felipe Fraga. He's been out front for a long time for Riley Motorsports. John Bennett second in number 54 for Core Autosport. But sadly for Andretti, out of that car.
Now, we're hearing, actually, it's not the 36 car. It's the blue and white of Mulner Motorsports. Mulner Motorsports America. So car number 6, which is off the road again. So this is the second incident I'm now hearing for the Mulner car of the race so far. And car number 6, yes, is a long way down the order after previous difficulties. And Joel Miller is at the wheel of the Duquesne D08, which has pranged the barrier. And I'm just wondering whether it's sort of spun on its way into the International Horseshoe, and that's the reason why its wake is strewn by light pods and all those sort of things. I mean, I'm used to the rather large front fenders of a Duquesne, and they are designed to snap off as well, for, you know, to displace the energy where possible. It's Joel Miller, as mentioned.
And so we should actually just balance that. It wasn't Andretti Autosport, fortunately. So they are still running in fourth place.
Yes,
in
car
class.
36.
So they're in the mix in 36. So for Andretti Autosport, they'd love a big one here. Still going. So just to reiterate, it's 74 leading the class, Riley Motorsports, and that's been a gold standard performance, as you'd expect from Felipe Fraga. Core Autosport right in the mix, but it's a good lap. In fact, Fraga's job just looks better and better. He's sitting on an unusually large cushion, but for the rest, it's a question of who's going to be able to stay on his coattails. But for Rasmus Lind, the driver we thought was out of the car, no, he's in the car. That's the good news for Andretti Autosport. And it was the number six, Mulner Motorsport America, Duquesne, that is off Joel Miller. Out of the car, walking around, but the car going nowhere at the moment.
Yeah, now if that can recover back to the pit lane, I would hope, although I can't, I haven't got a really good view of the front of that car, but I would hope that a lot of the panels that have come off it, as I've mentioned, are designed to snap off, and therefore they can fix a new nose to that, and it hasn't done too much damage. But if you struggle to stop into the International Horseshoe, you are going at a real rate of knots through the twisty turny bit at turns two, the kink right and left, and you might think, well, out of 1 to 3, that's not a great distance, but these prototypes accelerate like crazy, and if it's a full brake failure or maybe a stuck open throttle, that will have done substantial damage to the nose of that car. Let's keep our fingers crossed for the time being. It will be recovered and might be able to head back to the pits under its own steam, but we will wait and see. The caution's still out. Pits are closed, so nobody has the option to come into the pit lane just yet. It will be prototypes first of all, and GTs next time. Shade's reporting to me that there was one taker into the pit lane, so was that for emergency service, Shade, for car three?
Yes, it was, and they will be coming back down to do a full pit stop, but Nick Katzberg needed to pit, and they were up on the wall before the caution came out, but the car was too far around the track to make it in before the yellows waved.
And if you're wondering why the Corvettes are further down the order than many would have expected, they hit dramas around about 7-8 hours in, where the number three car had number four had an alternator problem. I'm not sure whether we ever got to the bottom of exactly what the issue was for the number three car. But those machines, of course, former GTLM cars and ran at Le Mans as GTEs, are now GT3 machines as part of GT Daytona Pro. So effectively have been backwards engineered to be eligible for this class. And Corvette have had some wonderful years here, not least that time when the two front-engine cars finished the GTLM battle side-by-side, virtually a dead heat after 24 hours. But this year, sadly, for the Detroit brand, will be a year to forget. And it's a tricky entry into GT3 running. But they will come back fighting from round two. Be assured of that. Out of Speedway turn two and down the back straight comes this collection of DPI cars, then headed by Tristan Nunez. Lap 5:01, which is a number favoured by many darts fans, I'm sure, but we missed the 500, apologies for that, but 501 working, 5:02, and Tristan Nunez ahead of Tristan Vautier. Then it's Blomqvist, Stevens and Alex Lynn in two Acuras and Alex Lynn in the third of the caddies.
And what do we get after a caution period? We get a restart, and those restarts have been fantastic during our four-hour stint. We've nearly come to the end of our four-hour stint, Johnny, but really don't want to give up the microphone. It's been so much fun, but we're going to, I'm sure, get another restart in. So is it going to be which Tristan, or would it be Tom, as we work out who's going to be first around after one full racing lap, or will it be Will or Alex Lynn at the back? So Tristan Nunez leads in the number 31 Whelan Engineering Racing Cadillac. Tristan Vautier, the number 5 JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac, in that second place. Tom Blomqvist, Meyershank Racing, tucked in behind the best of the Acuras. Then Will Stevens, number 10, the other Acura, that's Wayne Taylor's team. And then the 0-2 car from Alex Lynn Cadillac Racing, all in the mix. Who's going to jump best, or are they going to dive into the pits?
Yeah, we've got to do a full pit stop cycle now as well, because it's been 50 minutes since the last caution period. And Shay Adam watching the DPIs pour down pit road.
The first of our pit stops, actually the only one of the DPIs that's doing a driver change down on the pit in, and is the Konica Minolta Acura. Will Stevens out. Ricky Taylor taking over that car once again. Oh, the Hardpoint Porsche is down the pit lane as well. That'll be emergency service. Fuel and tires for Tristan Nunez. Fuel and tires for Tom Blomqvist. And they're actually even cleaning Tom's mirrors, so giving him a bit of better. Goodbye, Ricky Taylor. I think that was an adequate way to get heat into the tires, but I'll have to ask him after the stint if that actually made a lick of difference.
Well, it fired him up, and that's exactly what we want. Ricky Taylor, one of the great, great drivers in IMSA history, and it's really good when you get a second-generation driver, or in their family case, two second-generation drivers who aren't just second-generation drivers. They're drivers in their own right, and they really live up to the family name, and as well as being just something supremely entertaining as well. So a little bit of wheel spin, hey, doesn't hurt with Shay's mic still being open. We love it.
17 lap stint for Nunez, including the caution leading into that stop. Only 12 laps necessary for Tom Blomqvist and Alex Lynn. Tristan Vautier, the next longest stint after Nunez, so he did 16, and Will Stevens 15 laps on his stint. Remember, these cars under green flag conditions can go as far as 22 laps. There's a bit of an extension at the end of the previous stint as well because of the caution that we had just under 50 minutes ago. LMP2s, with Colton Herta leading that, but Ferdinand Habsburg has come in from second position after 12 laps. He must have pitted twice during a caution, just two laps apart previously, but as I say, he's just done 12. Lapierre's done 14, and a quick change around last time as well in the number 29 car for Racing Team Nederland for Rinus Wiecke, who took over from Dylan Murray. And Rinus, having done three caution laps so far, he will be settling back once we get back to green for a good portion, probably a double stint.
Will we get green before we get to the top of the hour? I think we may be just about to miss out on that. So that means we'll have a new crew in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre who'll be in the starters' orders at the moment, ready to sort of tag wrestle, slap our hand and come in and take it over. But they will get night turning into day. But we will be back within a few hours. But it's been absolutely enthralling. And I just can't wait to see how the rest of this classic race unfolds, Johnny.
Well, it should be the GTs coming in next for their pit stops. And then once all that is done, we will be able to go back to green flag running. Let's get to Shay for the GT pit stops. Shay.
KCMG Porsche hits its marks perfectly. Fuel and tires, and it is Larry time. Lawrence Vantor taking over for Dennis Olsen, the Norwegian driver who was more than adept at driving in freezing conditions, you would hope. As Larry was looking less than happy to be putting on all of his stuff because he had to take off the puffy winter coat. But that's okay. He's happy now because he's in his natural environment. He is behind the wheel of a Porsche, exactly where he belongs. Fueling is still going on. The tire change is done. Larry is fully installed. KCMG Porsche ready to roll.
We've had nearly 17 hours of the 60th edition of the Rolex 24 here at Daytona International Speedway. It's been Bruce Jones and Johnny Palmer looking after things in the Haggerty broadcast booth. The final 7 hours and 40 minutes start now.
So right in the midst of the pit stops, RS2, IMSA Radio, live from trackside at the World Centre of Racing. Peter Mackay and John Hindorf with Shea Adam down in the pits. Let's pick up some more news on those GT pit stops. What do you know, Shea? Good morning.
Good morning. I know that it is quite chilly down here, and there are more cars than I can remember in a long time coming in to do the emergency service stops and then having to fill that requirement. But I'm just going to dive back here with Dennis Olsen really quickly. Dennis, sorry to doorstep you like this right after you've gotten out of the car. That had to be a thrilling stint. It looked like a lot of fun from our side. What was it like behind the wheel?
It was a lot of cars on that last restart. We were more or less last in the queue, and to be honest, I came through pretty quickly, surprisingly. I thought it would be more difficult, but We had the advantage that we didn't have completely cold tires, which really helped me and made my life a lot easier when we restarted. So no, the car is going good and the team is doing a good job. So we just got to keep going.
How difficult is it going to be for Lorenz with new tires, the cold conditions, and coming out from behind a safety car?
It's extremely slippery now. It's so cold outside, and the rears, you managed to get a little bit of temperature leaving the pits by doing a burnout. But the front tires, you're trying to scrub them down pit lane, but it's not enough. And when you approach turn three, it's not much going on from the front. You just got to be careful and try to optimize what you have.
Thanks for talking to us straight out of the car. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Shay, just a note, Fair Use has tweeted in at IMSA Radio asking if teams could use intermediate tyres if it gets cold or frosty. With the Michelin customer tyre, I think there's only one option slick and one option wet, is there not?
That is correct. There is the S9M and the S9M, so good choosing out there. You have the freedom of choice so long as it's the S9M.
And of course, with no GT Le Mans cars out there, they were they had the options of different slicks and different operating temperatures of slicks. Usually had three options each round, but not the case now. Tobias Brockman on his weather app around here says 50% snow. Chance of snow in the next few hours. Well, that means 50% not snow. Even underneath here, it's very, very. The official air temperature is just above freezing at the moment, but the track temperature has fallen down to 4 degrees Celsius, plus four. But that hasn't fallen for a while. Even in the undercroft beneath our feet here in the Hagerty Global broadcast booth, it is between 3 and 4, and that's very, very sheltered under there, and zero wind, so the wind chill factor for that. I heard, Shea, that you have got a weather related food story for us.
Well, Jennifer Klein and Mike Murphy were kind enough last night to bring me sushi for dinner during the race, but they brought it at a point in time where I was more excited about the possibility of a little bit of shut eye. So I thought, you know what? Keep it fresh by leaving it on the roof of the car as I take a little catnap. Went to start eating it this morning and the cucumbers were completely frozen, so my sushi was icy.
Excellent. Excellent stuff. That's what we put our pit reporters through here. It's like boot camp, I tell you. Really is. More pit stops with people trying to catch a lap back there. Just going out a couple of prototypes. And did I see the Corvettes in and out as well? Yes, I did. Prototype class split ongoing. 107.9 around the circuits. XM Sirius XM 202 and around the world at imsaradio.com. Peter Mackay and John Hindorf. Well, that was a busy evening stroke morning or early morning session for Bruce and Johnny. They arrived with all kinds of mayhem going on the track, and I think the best run of green they got was just over an hour, just getting on for 2 hours in fact, wasn't it, in that session. But we are left with the situation that is, as far as the top of the charts are concerned, the timing charts, the Tristan Nunes in the number 31 Cadillac, which for pretty much the first half of the race had been the only one of the seven DPIs, the Whelan Engineering car, had not led. It's been very much top of the pile since then, having now completed 505 laps, as has Tom Blomqvist for the second place DPI Mashank Racing with Kerb Agajanian. Also on the lead lap, Tristan Fortier for JDC Miller Motorsports. That's the number 5 Mustang sampling sponsored car. Cadillac Racing, Earl Bamber, the 02. That's the black front, dark red rear. Earl on it. similar stint program as Peter and me, as he was driving when we were last on. Also on the lead lap, the Konica Minolta Acura, Ricky Taylor back behind the wheel of that car. Was two laps down, remember, that car. Now back on the lead lap. And it's the top five now. The seven have become five with Wars for the other DPIs. Next best is the Allied Cadillac of Jose Maria Lopez. Down in 14th position and 22 laps off the lead after all kinds of problems for that car. It does seem to be that if you have a problem, it turns into more problems, and then the problems multiply even further. Colton Herta, Dragon Speed, leads in LMP2, the number 81 car. That's the orange and bright yellow car. Sixth position overall for them. Ferdinand Habsburg, Ferdy's in the Tower Motorsport, number 8, second position. Just 8 tenths off the lead behind the safety car, but still on the lead lap. Also, Racing Team Netherlands, Rinus Vike, back in behind the wheel of the number 29, Orica, the Jumbo supermarket-sponsored machine. Scott Huffaker for PR1 Mathiessen Motorsports, the number 52, that's the Wins car. He's still on the lead lap. Then there's a bit of a gap. Some six laps back to Ed Jones in the best of the Algarve Pro Racing run machines. And that is the number 68, 10th place overall. United Autosport not having their normal kind of run. Down in sixth position for Will Owen. LMP3, Felipe Fraga for Riley Motorsports. Then it's GTD Pro, Daniel Hunkadella leading for the 97 WeatherTech Mercedes, and Lucas R leads GTT for Wynwood Racing. Take a deep breath. With 7.5 hours to go, it's time to go back to Green Flag Racing on IMSA Radio. And the lead pair dive down towards turn one. Whelan and Mearshank Racing side by side again. They've done this after every restart. The Acura, particularly with Castro Neves aboard, has been very nimble off the start and gets round the outside. Buffalo Gald, brilliant stuff from Tom Blomqvist.
Oh, the 31 Whelan car off gets a touch from, I think it was, the number 5 Mustang sampling machine. So Tristan Nunez off at the International Horseshoe gets a clip from behind, I'm fairly certain, for the number 5 of Tristan Vautier. Oh dear, John.
3 wide going to the kink, and the core Autosport car right in the middle somehow manages to survive that. Well, it was very, very close indeed. Not sure that we can convict on the evidence we've seen. Big dive down the inside, now we can. If that was the second angle for the VAR, we're going to ask the ref to have a wander over and see that on the monitor again. It was ambitious with cold brakes, the front discs glowing brightly of the number 5 Mustang sampling Tristan Vautier Cadillac. I think even on a restart lap that might be deemed a little too ambitious. What the responsible adult would say, coined this very many years ago, a low percentage lunge.
Let's have a quick look. LPL for sure.
LPL. Some penalties coming through. Stop plus 10 for the number 99 for an improper emergency service. We've seen a few of those, haven't we? That's Rob Furriel, the hard point car.
Yeah.
That was getting a lot of work early on. And also the number 11, Josh Pearson, is in the pits now for his drive-through. That was a pass under yellow.
Oh, problems for the 21 EF Corsa Ferrari and GTD, which at the moment has got Simon Mann driving that car. It's seventh at the moment, but losing places hand over fist. And whatever problem is come a cropper for that car, it's happened right at the wrong point just after the pit end, so it's had to go, I will have to go all the way around. I don't know what exactly the issue is, but the car going at about half speed at the moment. No, well under speed.
It slowed, as you say, Peter, just as he was going across the start-finish line, and for a moment I just thought he was slowing down to go to turn one and possibly being a little circumspect, but he just didn't pick up any more speed after that. Very interesting.
That's the red Ferrari with the Argentinian flag stripped along the side of it. We've got two red Ferraris in the field. The 62 is the other one. That's the Risi Competizione GTD Pro class car with the Pennzoil sponsorship on it. It's two Porsches side by side on the banking. The two KCMG and GTD Pro and the 16 Wright Motorsport in GTD. Driving the number two at the moment,
Lawrence Vantor.
Is Lawrence Vantor, yes,
not
indeed.
Not a pass for position. No. Zach Robichon is third in his car class in Wright Motorsport, about 4 seconds behind Ollie Milroy for the McLaren from Inception Racing, the number 70. And Lawrence Vantor, coincidentally, in the CMG car, is about 8 tenths of a second away from second place. Davide Rigon in that Risi Competizione, the Pennzoil-sponsored car, and Ferrari of Houston. So both the third place GTD Porsches there.
Incident, not a surprise, incident involving cars 5. That's the Tristan Vautier-driven Mustang sampling Cadillac and car 31, Whelan Engineering Cadillac of Tristan Nunez. Under review, the very hard-working folks in race control having a look at that at the moment. Now, the 21 Ferrari, which had an issue a moment ago, had the 97 WeatherTech Mercedes behind it. And oh my word, the number 11 LMP2 of Josh Pearson,
just out of the pits from serving his penalty.
Was coming into the pits and pulled straight in front of the Ferrari and jammed the brakes on, and the Ferrari could do nothing.
That's another penalty.
It will be.
Josh is coming back in for another penalty. When he came in for his penalty, he was 10k over and he's had to come back in again.
And he might have another one for pulling in front of the Ferrari.
He got to commit earlier. Tristan Forty is in the pit lane. Incident responsibility, as difficult as that is to take, I think Tristan will realise that that was ambitious to say the least, and that is the least difficult decision, I think, that race control has had to make. They've turned it around quickly. They've been really very, very efficient all the way through this evening and this morning.
And the thing is, John, is that a drive-through penalty, there's no dubiety in that. You serve it and it's
out the way.
Black and white. It's not give the position back. It's nothing like that. I'm not a fan of that. Black and
the
white
restitution
drive-through penalty.
Thing. No, absolutely.
Cut and shut.
It also sets... it puts down a marker for everybody else.
Yeah.
The whole of the pit lane have seen the race control messages. WeatherTech number 79. That is the AMG GT...
No, it's a Porsche.
Sorry, that's the Porsche back out again. Yes, the 79. There's a bit of a story here. That car lost a huge amount of time early on. It is still running in 45th position, but well down, having only completed 437 laps. Julian Andlauer at the wheel of that. Check that, 440 laps. GT, best GTD, 480. But that is the car in which Cooper McNeil is doing the whole season. So that is his season, his WeatherTech Sports Car Championship point haul in that car.
But the number 97 WeatherTech Mercedes, his Rolex watch-winning car,
correct,
is
that's
leading
exactly what we
GTD
said,
Pro.
Yes.
So that... Well, it just shows you having two cars in the game is really important. Looking in the DPI class, obviously the 01 Chip Ganassi Cadillac has hit problems and is a long way down after an incident a few hours ago. However, having two cars in the game, Earl Bamber in the 02 Cadillac is in second position at the moment. Of course, the Ganassi Cadillac, the 01, came so close to winning this race last year. They had a late race puncture and it just stripped it from their grasp. And that's when you've got strength in numbers. It's obviously there's more resource required to do it, but it's worth it. Battle for second position in GTD Pro. between Davide Rigon in the Ferrari 62 and the two Porsche, and Vantor has got past Rigon as they head into the International Horseshoe, and just two or three car lengths ahead is the leading GTD Pro 97 WeatherTech Mercedes of the Spaniard Daniel Junquedela.
So we are into the early morning hours with breakfast approaching for many people. We remember in our Porsche Keys to the Race, we talked about breaking this up, and we've got an 18-hour points position as well for the Michelin Endurance Cup at the sliver of a moon setting right over the airport, so directly opposite from us, and it's just starting to get a little tinge of red on it. We've got about almost exactly an hour actually till official sunrise. An extraordinary sight it is over the top of the Forest Whale on the infield.
Yeah, that moon is absolutely beautiful. You can just see the sort of almost like a C shape at the moment. Whereas the we're going to have a real picture postcard sunrise in about an hour.
Photographers will be getting themselves sorted out to get to their favourite spot.
Yep.
Great to see that Jamie Price was back on site here in the USA after his trials, tribulations and extended stay in Italy, wasn't it, at the back end of last year. Remember him tuning in to Mutulpeti Le Mans remotely.
I actually interviewed Jamie when he was in COVID jail, as he called it. But the funny thing was, he'd been doing a job for Lamborghini when he tested positive for COVID, and he actually had to stay on, and he was actually going to a job for Ferrari at Mugello. The only problem was he hadn't been home to get new clothes, so he had to turn up to his job for Ferrari in his Lamborghini merchandise as well. But I'm sure that was understandable in the circumstances.
Morning to Duncan Vincent.
That looks cold.
Out in the morning air in Scotland, where it is just after 11 in the morning, out with Otto.
With a John McGuinness beanie hat on.
Yeah, of course he has. Let's go to Shea for an update on the number 21 AF Corsa Ferrari.
I wanted to check in on this car because the crew was standing up on the wall for the last three laps waiting for the car to come in. But as it turns out, there was no damage sustained from the hit, the car spinning, and now it's just a recovery drive for... Is it still Nicholas Nielsen in that car? No, it's Simon Mann in the 21 AF Corse Ferrari.
Yeah, correct.
And still with a couple more yellow flags and we'll be right back in the hunt of things. So it's definitely not done for fans of Ferrari in both GTD and GTD Pro. Of course, the Risi Competizione car has been really, really strong on race day.
And he's back up to pace. He was back on the pace after that slow lap that we saw, or slow half a lap. Felt sure that he was going to come into the pit lane, and from what Shea was saying there, said the same thing.
Move the lead in GTD Pro. Lawrence Vantor goes straight up the inside of Daniel Junquedela. Can he get it pulled down in time?
Turn one.
At turn one, he has. Lawrence Vantor's up for this one this morning. Fresh driver makes such a difference in these situations. So it's KCMG Porsche to the front at GTD Pro.
2/10 as he crossed the line, but the aerodynamic effect let him dive down the inside. Fair play to Junquedela. He realised, I think, that was a lost cause. That wasn't the battle he was going to fight right now.
Well, I think, John, we're about to have golden hour in more ways than one, because not only did Lawrence Vantor set the fastest lap of the race in GTD Pro, a 145.0. I'll say that again, 145.0. Junquedela nearly matched him, 145.3, his personal best.
Yeah, that car's best of the race,
so
correct.
So they're flying at the front in GTD Pro. That has just been a dogfight all day long. It's been a GTLM throwback in that class, and that's exactly what it's designed to be. Fantastic.
Yeah, and coming up, as I say, to another milestone in about an hour or so, as we award more points for the Michelin Endurance Cup, when we talked about our Porsche Keys to the Race breaking up the race midnight, get the dawn, get the noon. 13 hours and 14 minutes from sunset to sunrise. 7:14. So just under an hour away before we can officially say that the night is over. 3 minutes shorter than the longest darkness period that we will cover in a 24-hour race this year. That was at Dubai.
So, unsurprisingly, incident at pit entry involving cars 11. That's the LMP2 machine of that. No, not no, flick through my.
That was Josh Pearson. He was Matheson. Coming back into
In the 21 AF Corsa Ferrari. So, no surprise that that's under review, and we'll get a.
Remember
a
that
verdict
was,
in a moment.
That wasn't contact. That was Josh. He'd just been in for a penalty for overtaking under yellow, had a speeding penalty, and then had to come back in again, which he did the following lap, but he committed very, very late indeed and chopped right the clock. Incident responsibility, entering the pits, stop plus 60. Stop plus 60 when he went right across the AF Corsa. Well, that is going to take that car way out of contention at this stage of the game. And that'll drop them another lap away. There are laps between the LMP2s from sort of second and third, fifth and sixth rather, on down. The top four are still on the lead lap in class. Spin on the infield, Core Autosport down at the new Le Mans chicane, newly Kirk. Named. And the Core Autosport number 54, Flexbox machine, distinctive with the Tangerine front end. Now, he was in a gaggle of cars when he came in past us the lap before, but I think he's just looped that himself.
Ooh, lucky not to get collected by, I think it was the Windward Mercedes, who was just following along behind.
Third place in LMP3, George Kurtz was holding his own there. Sean Quich Motorsport in second, the 33 car with Malte Jakobsen behind the wheel, and Felipe Fraga leads that LMP3 class for Riley in the 74, the Ranch 74 car. Now, getting some more pit callers.
This is
Josh Pearson coming. Well, I hope he can leave the engine running because he'll get very cold very quickly. He was up on the high banks with the 21 AF Corsa with the Tricolore ahead of him on that Ferrari. Decides to... Oh, and there was contact. I hadn't realised there was contact there, Peter.
Yeah.
So that's what slowed the 21 across the start-finish line.
That's correct.
It wasn't a mechanical issue. It was the fact that Simon Mann was doing his best not to spin at full speed as he was forced down onto the grass on the infield. Somehow he gathered it back together. There's a little damage on the left rear of the prototype where he chopped across the nose and the right front of that Ferrari. I had not realised that had been the as significant a contact as that. That could have been huge. No wonder that is a stop plus 60 seconds.
I think that's a super call from race control, because like you say, if that had gone wrong at that point of the circuit in an open pit lane like we have, it could have been really quite messy as well. So I think that it's a stern penalty, but I think that required that, especially after that car had been serving a penalty already. So it was kind of a flurry of penalties all at once. So I think they do kind of have a kind of cumulative effect. But this, of course, is a bit of an all-star lineup with Josh Pearson, Stephen Thomas, Harry Tinknell, and Jonathan Bomarito. Really all-star lineup, one of the strongest in the class. Of course, Josh Pearson, 15-year-old from Portland, Oregon, I believe will be the youngest entrant in Rolex 24 history. But this is
person to start the race.
Oh, problem for the number 97 GTD Pro WeatherTech Mercedes.
Leader. This
Daniel
is the leader.
Cadella was the leader. After Vantor went by, it could
oh,
be
sorry,
a puncture.
Oh, sorry, yes, second now.
Could be a puncture. There's smoke pouring out of the back of that Mercedes.
Left rear, Peter, is it?
It's one of the rears. I think it might be the front left.
Front left. Oh. It's that aerodynamic thing again, isn't it, where the smoke comes out from underneath. I'm looking at all the Michelin tyres. I think they've got air in them. That may be engine-related. Shear will be able to smell it before we can work it out. Came down into turn one, looked fine there, They maybe just went a little bit wide through the kink of turn through, clipped the curb on the right hand side. No, there's oil smoke or some kind of steam coming out of the vent. Shea Adam is watching that car into the pit lane, Shea.
No, John, it's not here yet, but the 02 Cadillac just went behind the wall, back
drama.
To the garage.
Oh. Drama for one of the favourite cars. Earl Bamber had been running very well indeed. And that car behind the wall, meantime the WeatherTech 97, which up until recently had been leading, had been passed on the track for the lead in GTD Pro. This is Cooper McNeil's chance of a Rolex and the another problem down at the International Horseshoe. If you've been spectating down there, you've had your money's worth already this weekend. It's the
car number 69 for G-Drive Racing.
Algarve Pro Racing.
Algarve Pro, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Now, that's dead stick down there. And again, when he last went by us, he was in a gaggle of cars. Did he get to... Well, right. So the Core Autosport machine...
The Wins
52. With the... That's the... That has spun around in front. The Wins PR1 Matheson 52 has gone round, and then it seemed to me that in avoiding that, the Algarve Pro Racing G-Drive car stalled and couldn't restart. Full course yellow, another full course yellow.
So the 97.
And she's now got the 97 in the pit lane, she.
That took a long time for Daniel Yucatella to make it all the way around. Let me see. They go to the right front tire first. Nope, that one still has air in it. Right rear still has air in it. There's a lot of white smoke pouring out from this car. The hood comes up. Oh, boy. Yeah, a lot of white smoke from the engine bay. Although the last time it came in, I have to say, I did see a lot of white smoke coming out then, too. This is quite a bit more, though, as, let's see, the other two Michelin tires coming off the car are still inflated. They are still good. There is still a brand new left front that has not gone on this car yet, as there is a mechanic looking with a flashlight or a torch into the engine compartment. No flame involved, don't worry, Americans. And not really signaling that he's seeing anything in particular wrong with this car. All right, all four tires have been changed this time, which did not happen on one of the previous pit stops, as reported by Jules Gagnon. And now all three of the mechanics are in the engine bay. I think this thing is down on water, if I would have to guess. Hang on, let me pull my mask down and take a sniff. There's no discernible smell as to what is wrong with this car, John, I have to say. But Daniel Yucatella just popping up in the door as if he's to indicate, yep, I'm going to be here for a little while. I'm going to run back to the garage and see if I can find out what's wrong with the Cadillac.
Yeah, thanks, Shea. Good idea. We'll keep an eye on what's going on via our colleagues at NASCAR Productions in the pit lane and the binoculars. I think that's an oil union perhaps that's come off, and I wonder also then if that was laying a bit of fluid down when it was coming through the infield. Three mechanics, now four mechanics working, one in his best snooker pose trying to keep one toe on the ground before he falls into the V8 engine compartment. They are shining the torches down, and they've turmeric smell is what I'm hearing from Shea. Well, that could be overheating. I know exactly what she means by that.
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. I mean, I think there is definitely something to do with the fluid that may well have leaked from that number 97 Mercedes, which caused the two prototypes, the 52 Wins LMP2 machine and the which one was it? It was the 69 G-Drive Algarve Pro Racing car. So, that's a real pity. The number 97 being passed around, pushed behind the wall. Sorry, Shea. That's a disaster for that team.
Yeah, it is down here in the garage. I'm going to see if I can step in with Earl Bamber really quickly. He's standing next to the car. Earl, hate to do this. What's going on?
We have a continued fuel issue from when Kevin had, so now both of them are gone, so we have to stop and repair. So, yeah, bit of a shame, but anyway, that's racing.
So it's the fuel pump acting up again?
Yeah, the fuel pump. So, yeah, we went to reserve, and then the reserves failed as well. So, yeah, a bit of a shame. I think we had a really good car and, you know, pace to run at the front. So, yeah, now we'll be too far back to fight at the end. But we'll get back out there and score some points.
Yeah, you've proven that you're going to be a formidable duo with Alex for this season. So good luck at Sebring.
Thank you.
All about a bit of damage limitation in terms of points if they can get back out. So you don't have to dash back to a report on the WeatherTech EMG that was second in class when it came in, had been leading for a wee while. They're rather thoughtfully pushing it back towards you, and it's still steaming.
Oh, they're so considerate to bring it to me. Yeah, I'll follow it down. It's a couple of garages further down, but yeah, that's a lot of white smoke pouring out of it.
Is there any fluid coming out from underneath it, Shea, can you see?
Yes. Well, wait a minute. Let me walk over. No, that's a crack in the asphalt. That actually
all right.
did fool me.
That's fine. We've all done that. Yeah. Thank you, Shea. Get an update in a moment. Just over 7 hours still to go. We're under full course yellow. And the first vestiges of light just beginning to be visible, looking down towards the beach.
Glorious.
Being very, very clear. There's a little bit of a marine layer just beyond the coast, but the setting moon illuminated at the moment, looking absolutely fantastic with the inky black sky fading down through lighter into blue and then an almost an ochre red in the distance as we await the sun to make its appearance in around about 45 minutes time. Clear up down at the
International Horseshoe.
Is it the International Horseshoe or is that the Western Horseshoe where all that action happened, Peter? I think it
might be. Oh, you are correct. Sorry, yeah. I do apologise, yes.
Yeah, no, I think I give you the bump steer earlier.
You are absolutely correct. It is the Western Horseshoe where the 69G drive car. Now, that's very strange because it didn't look like there was any contact. Well, I wonder if it's maybe been some sort of mechanical failure.
There's no lights on that car or anything. It was jam on the anchors to miss the spinning 52 Wins PR1 Matheson car. And then it just didn't move.
No, it maybe just couldn't fire it up again.
I think what's happened is the pickups come out of the slot. You know, when you, if you just maybe got a little bit around there, pickups, somebody just needs to put their pickup back in the slot and squeeze and we'll go.
Well, it's Tom Blomqvist that's at the top of the shop at the moment for the number 60 Meyershank Racing Acura. And, well, now, although it was when we started off this race, it was 5 Cadillacs versus 2 Acuras. That is equaled out now. It's now effectively 3 Cadillacs versus 2 Acuras in the battle for DPI, which has just been stunning to watch. At the moment, it is the 2 Acuras at the top, but there is all of those leading protagonists, the 60 Meyershank Acura, the 10 Wayne Taylor Racing Acura, the 31 Wayland Cadillac, and the 5 Mustang Sampling Cadillac of Tristan Vautier on the lead lap. So in fact, actually, I do apologise, it is 2 Cadillacs versus 2 Acuras at the moment on the lead lap. So this dogfight is going to continue for the next 7 hours or so. But that is devastating for the 02 crew of Ganassi Cadillac. And you could just tell, John, there in the Errol, of course, is gracious as always, but you could just hear the disappointment coming through him. But the pits are about to get busy, Shay.
Yeah, I think she's still behind the wall at the moment, so we'll get the binos out and keep an eye into the pit lane. Auto Nation Sirius XM number 60 Meyershank Racing comes in for a new set of Michelin tyres, and it's Elio Castro Neves was getting himself ready. I haven't seen him get into that car though. A bit of a wipe down as well. Also, a little bit further back down the pit lane. In fact, all of the top 9 have come in. Ed Jones in the 6-8 APR car, the sister car to the G-Drive machine that's part of the cause of this yellow flag. Ed Jones stayed out. Paul Loop Shatnan for ERA stayed out as well. They're trying to get laps back in the LMP2 battle. The car that was facing in the wrong direction in LMP2, the number 52 wins PR1 Matheson car. Well, that's in the pit with Scott Huffaker, as is the third place Tower Motorsport car. They're on the lead lap, as well as Rinus VK, the racing team Netherlands, number 29 in second, and Colton Herter for Dragon Speed, also in the pit lane. Earl Bamber, we know, is behind the wall and losing laps now, so it's down to four. The seven became six, then five, and now four. Just a quartet of potential winners for the 60th running of the Rolex 24 at Daytona. Tom Blomqvist out first for the number 60, Mareschank Racing with Kerb Agajanian, pink and white Acura. Then it's Ricky Taylor, Acura 1-2 now. Tristan Nunes, little longer stop, and Tristan Vautier in fourth position. That's how they left the pit lane in LMP2. Dragon Speed held on to the lead as they went out, I believe. Devon DiFrancesco, Devlin jumping into that car and now has the unenviable task of trying to get some heat in the tyres whilst behind the safety car. Racing Team Netherlands has held on to Rinus VK, stayed in that car. Tower Motorsport, Ferdinand Habsburg stayed in that car, and Scott Huffaker stayed in the PR1 car. There's oil dry going down on the circuit from the safety team. So I think now, we say oil dry, it's just to take the fluid up. It could have been water. It very seldom is water in racing engines nowadays. Waterless coolant is very, very popular, but you're not allowed in IMSA racing anything that would make the surface slippery. So we have an official coolant of IMSA, and that's VP Stay Frosty, which is very, very efficient indeed. And it doesn't have any of the nasty bits that lays like a slick on the top of the surface. Pits open for GT. Have you made it back, Shea, or are you still investigating WeatherTech?
Nope, I came back out. They said it would be a while before they would have a resolution to the issue. They were putting it up on the hijacks and trying to figure out what exactly was causing all that white smoke. It's a lot of pit callers coming in at this end of pit lane. I've got the two KCMG Porsche. That is Lawrence Vantor staying aboard, and it looks like fuel and tires for Larry. Fuel and tires for the 14 Lexus as well, as that is Jack Coxworth's bright green liveried helmet. So that will be a driver change going on there too. We've got a tranche of GTD pit stops at the other end of the pit lane. And John, one more note about the DPI stop. It was correct. Elio Castroneves is still sitting on the box for Mareschank Racing. He looks like he's freezing though. He's wearing his helmet. I don't think he wants to take it off because it's extra warmth for his head.
It's not the worst idea, actually. I noticed Nick Tandy earlier on was prowling around the garage area with his balaclava on. Not because he thought he was getting in the car any time, but it was keeping his ears warm,
very
Peter,
clever.
To be honest.
That's a driver who's had the peril of standing on the pit wall at a British short oval in an evening, a cold evening. Very, very wise indeed, Mr. Tandy. Driver change as well in the 62 Risi Ferrari in that set of pit stops as well. So Davide Rigon getting out. Let's see who, once he comes over the timing beam, who has jumped aboard that 62 Risi Ferrari, as the burning ember out to the east continues to rise up as well. And John Hindhoff alongside me in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre can't help but take a very Instagram worthy photo of that rising Florida sunrise. If you're out around the watching around the circuit, braving the cold weather, if you're just coming out of maybe a little bit of a light slumber, it's worth it waking up now to see this beautiful sunrise here over the World Centre of Racing, Daytona International Speedway. Confirming it's Daniel Serra who's got on board the 62 Risi Ferrari, taking over from Davide Rigon. So difficult day for the number 79 WeatherTech Porsche. Such a promising lineup with Julien Andlauer, Alessio Piccarello, Matteo Cairoli and Cooper McNeil. But they plough on despite a lot of delays. They've kept going, and in the true spirit of endurance, Julien Andlauer is at the wheel of that car at the moment. And he had such an impressive run in his opening stint. And continues to rise up. He's from actually from Lyon, so there must be something in the water in that French
Lyon
town.
Lyon C, is that?
Say again, sorry?
Lyon C.
Lyon C. Somewhere more glamorous than that. Lyon, of course, that's where Kevin Estre is from, so there must be something in the water there. And Julian Andler, he is a bit of a Kevin Estre 2.0. Certainly an incredibly quick driver. So a couple more takers coming in to pit lane now to get their service. Still a little bit of track cleanup going on the run from the Western Horseshoe, which I think may well be completed now, as the Whelen number 31 Cadillac back into the pits. Huh, that's it. Shea, down to you in pit lane. Shea?
There's a new nose going on this car, and that's been interesting because I don't think they've had any frontal contact with anyone, not as far as I can remember. But yes, that is the only work going on to the car now. They did top it off with a bit more fuel. I was expecting Corvette Racing to come down the pit lane. I've seen Antonio Garcia helmeted and ready for his stint, so I was going to try and grab Nick Katzberg. But there goes the Whelen Cadillac. Good news is the light at the pit exit should be off, i.e. green, by the time he gets there, because safety car is still nowhere near to be seen.